Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, they answer the phone with Americans. They have call centers in Tulsa, Tampa, Omaha. It's a national organization. But guess where they're answering the phone after 5 nights and weekends? The Philippines. This particular company happens to have American in their name. Wouldn't it be nice if companies with American in their name, if those companies had Americans answering the phone?
I'm talking today with Steve Farbacher, CEO of Dallas-based Grayshoring Technologies. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, thanks, Nick. Glad to be here.
Steve, the word grayshoring seems a little mysterious. How did you come up with it?
If I said offshoring, most people today would know what that meant. If I said nearshoring, I'd have to explain that that means offshoring to Canada and Mexico, the bordering countries for the U.S. If I said homeshoring, some people would know that that meant that I had sent people home to let them work from home. And then if I said rural shoring, that would mean that we moved the jobs from Dallas to Tyler and Texarkana because labor is cheaper there. So gray shoring takes an element of all of those and said we're going to send the jobs to offshore expat Americans living in Mexico, Central and South America, where they're going to work for American companies via the internet. Pretty simple, gray shoring.
I see. So Grayshoring Technologies gives American companies that are using, let's say, offshore call centers a better customer service experience for the same price or maybe even less?
In the last 20 years, Nick, we've sent 2 million jobs offshore, 500,000 of them to India, 500,000 to the Philippines. You've called those people, we all have. And it's challenging, isn't it, to speak with people who sort of speak English? It's very frustrating. The reason that American companies sent those jobs offshore was because they needed to cut costs. As you could imagine, someone in India is willing to work for a lot lower rate than somebody in Milwaukee. And so 2 million jobs gone, evaporated. What we do is we take those same jobs and instead of sending them to Manila or Mumbai, we send them to Americans who are living in Costa Rica, who have a high-speed internet connection, and they now answer those calls just like the folks in the call centers overseas do.
I see. So you provide supplemental income for retired Americans living, well, as you said, anywhere there's high-speed internet access.
Yeah, Nick, we have people in Panama, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Honduras, and the furthest one I would have to say that I've brought on board personally is in South Africa.
Wow. With the internet and VoIP and so forth, distance really isn't a factor.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference where you're at. We can put a U.S. phone number anywhere in the world, and it's transparent to the called party. I can put an L.A. number at the North Pole. If you can see the sky and you can connect to the internet, then you can have a U.S. phone number, period, end of story. I mean, there's no difference. The bottom line, I think of it like this. If you can do your job from home, then home can be anywhere. And the criteria for determining whether you can do your job from home, and if you can do the job anywhere you have access to the internet and computer, it doesn't make any difference where that is. Could be in the jungles of Panama, a mountaintop in the Himalaya. It just doesn't matter. When you look at the fact that it costs $1,000 a month per person, in fact, $1,000 a month in the U.S. is below the poverty line, well below it, and $1,000 a month in Costa Rica, Panama, Cuenca, Ecuador, it's in the upper echelons of the income brackets. You're living a life every day that most of us hope we get to go to for vacation once in our lifetime.
I see. Well, this all sounds like a win-win-win-win situation. You have better customer experience for the customers of your client companies. The client companies have lower overall costs, extra money for retirees, and of course, revenue for you. That sounds like a nice situation. Now, what about American companies that have in-house call centers or that are using U.S.-based third-party call centers? How can Grayshoring Technologies help them?
We can cut their costs probably in half. See, think about it. A call center job is an entry-level job most of the time. But even at entry level, it's going to cost minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour in some places, although recently some states went to $10 an hour. So let's just call it $8. So $8 an hour is $320 a week, about $1,500 a month. For $1,500 a month, you can hire an experienced, dependable college graduate in many cases, somebody with 10, 15, 20 years of, if you're selling, sales experience. I mean, these expat Americans, they're excited to come to work for jobs that, quite frankly, it's hard to get somebody to show up for every day here in the States. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes great sense. What were some of the challenges you faced in setting all this up, and how did you overcome them?
The first challenge is just getting people to listen. The second is just finding the reps, just the general communication. It's a new concept. It's a revolutionary concept. I don't know of another way to describe it. Just getting people to slow down and take a look is probably the biggest challenge.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What kind of competition do you have, if any?
Well, the domestic call center growth is estimated to be running at 15% per year. Now, there is a shift that's occurring, and we're bringing jobs back to the U.S. because, quite frankly, companies are seeing a negative impact to their customer service operation because people are tired, especially in, let's call it, a depressed economy. I mean, times are rough right now. So when you're an American and you read that there's a lot of people here without a job, and you pick up the phone and it's obvious that the person you're talking to probably is not in Tulsa, that's a little frustrating.
Well, not only that, but I got a call this very day from a company where the first person sounded as if she had a nonspecific American accent. She could have been from Tulsa. And then she said, well, let me switch you to one of our specialists. And then you heard a bunch of clicking and static. And now we're sent to who knows where with someone with a very, very difficult accent to understand. Not only that, but the call quality was very, very poor, in my opinion. And as I understand it, one of the things that you've been able to do is to make sure that the call quality is the same or better as one would experience speaking to someone whose call center was in the United States.
Yeah, we have a standard set of technical criteria in terms of the computer the person's working with, the internet speed, the phone carrier itself, the VoIP service itself, the way we manage and condition the network. My background is telecom, Nick. I spent 30 years with companies like Lucent, MCI, AT&T, Verizon. So I was kind of on the ground floor of VoIP and the internet. I guess I'd be falsely immodest if I didn't say I understand it pretty well. So it's just not signing up for an internet service and signing up for a VoIP service. That's not it. There's quite a bit of technology that goes into setting one of our reps up to work for one of our clients.
Okay. Well, that sounds like you have it under control, which, again, this company today, they definitely do not have it under control, in my opinion. Now, besides call centers, where agents handle mostly inbound customer service and tech support calls, what other kinds of business categories could benefit from hiring you?
Well, right now, we're interviewing for an accountant/bookkeeper for a company here in Dallas. Person doing his bookkeeping now and his tax preps, running, charging him $100 an hour, and I think I'll be able to cut that cost in half. So we'll call it a fractional CFO at a fraction of the price that you'd pay somebody in the States. Again, it doesn't matter. If I'm not flipping flapjacks or tossing pizza or grilling burgers, if information's what I'm working with, then it doesn't make any difference, again, where I'm at. So I've got a couple of people. I've got a CPA that's moved to the Dominican Republic, and I've got another one that's in Peru that we're talking to about coming to work with these folks. So really, across the board, bookkeeping, virtual assistants, writing, website development. In fact, by the year 2016, they estimate that 61 million people will be working from home one day a week, authorized and sanctioned by their company. They're scheduled to work from home one day a week. And the answers and the reasons for that are tremendous. Just think about what it means if you can do your job from home. Think about what it means when you start doing that job from home. Think about every car, every hour that you're not on the road commuting. Think about what that means. What does it mean?
Go ahead. It means the price of oil will go even lower.
It means the price of oil goes lower. It means that the money we spend on roads and on infrastructure, there comes a time in the world where gathering together to do work that requires no gathering. Let's say that we both have companies and we handle roadside assistance calls for, you do it for Sam's Club and I do it for AARP and Costco. And you have a 100-seat call center on the 10th floor of a building in downtown Dallas. And I've got those same 100 seats distributed to people working from home. They're either living here domestically or they're living offshore. I'm not paying their air conditioning bill. I don't have to worry about commuting costs. Do you see how much less they can work for me?
Yeah, you just don't have the overhead that's typically associated with a physical building housing 100 people. All you do is have the cost of that labor. You don't have any other associated costs, which you can then pass on to your client companies, and presumably they are going to pass that on to the consumer, or at least hold prices to a reasonable level so that they can compete effectively in the marketplace. Now, you mentioned a couple of situations. Do you have any other examples of how your service has been implemented successfully by companies, either here in the Dallas area or some other place?
Sure. So I've got a national sales manager for one of these emerging companies selling vaping juice. You know, the vape, the e-cigarettes?
I see. Uh-huh.
So he calls on their customers, handles calls for them remotely from their office. This particular person lives in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
67-year-old retired automobile sales guy from Indianapolis, moved to Costa Rica 4 years ago and moved to the Dominican a year ago. Just happy as a pea in a pod, sitting down there taking calls from and placing calls to customers of this company.
Okay, now, so is this person doing what I would call outbound telemarketing? He's contacting companies to try and establish a relationship. He's following up on orders that have already been placed. He's just doing all of the above.
He started out doing outbound telemarketing to retail stores, and we just transitioned that to somebody else. And now this gentleman is managing existing customer accounts. So he's taking calls from existing customers, placing calls to existing customers, taking calls that come in from the web. I mean, he's a national accounts manager managing their wholesale business.
Okay, so we have the companies that have the need for a 100-seat call center, and then we have smaller companies, much smaller, that have the need for one or two people, and gray shoring technologies can fill both those needs. And it seems to me that you have a huge market out there for these smaller companies that simply cannot afford to put a desk in an office and hire a person and have that overhead that is involved with keeping a person, and suppose business slows down a little bit. Well, they still have to find something for that person to do. But I would think that in this situation with the guy who's in the DOM rep, that he can kind of go with the flow, if you will. And of course, he wants to work and make money. But if you're having a slow week or something, that you probably could just say, look, we're going to take a week off, and he's happy to come back the following week because maybe he wants to take a week off, you know?
Yeah, these folks are fairly flexible. Here's what people don't understand with reference to baby boomers. Every day, for the next 19 years, 10,000 people are filing for Social Security benefits. When I started researching this, and I worked on this for a couple of years before I launched the company, 51% of those people filing for Social Security benefits every day are only 62 years old.
So they're taking early retirement, in effect.
Because they can't find a job.
Okay, so we have the large companies that you can work with and the smaller companies you can work with. What kind of sales training or marketing resources do you provide your customers if they want it?
It varies across the board. I have a new client that I started working with this month that's actually a marketing company, and we're working with a list that they provided as well as a list that we developed just to see which one has the most traction. So some companies come to us with developed programs, and all we're doing is replicating what they've been doing and some that we have to start from scratch.
Okay, so that when desired, you could provide scripting, you could provide marketing resources like lead generation websites, collateral material, pretty much anything that a company would need to facilitate utilizing gray shoring technologies to get more sales and make more profits.
In fact, Nick, this new client, this marketing company, they're a direct mail marketing company. They're a large operation, a national company, probably $400 or $500 million in sales. They've sent me yesterday a list of 6,000 names across a variety of industries. I'll take that list. I wrote the script that we're going to be marketing from, and I'll be making the calls myself for the first 2 weeks, 20 hours a week, to refine the pitch, find out what works, what doesn't work. And then next month, we'll put four people on that project full time.
Okay, so you're going to test and tweak before you jump in with both feet.
Right, depending upon what the client needs. I mean, we provide marketing development, telemarketing, scripting, write copy. It just depends on what the client is. I just put in a proposal to a national NGO. If I told you the name, we all know who they are. They're more than a household name. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, they answer the phone with Americans. They have call centers in Tulsa, Tampa, Omaha, 5 or 6 call centers. It's a national organization. But guess where they're answering the phone after 5 nights and weekend?
Where?
The Philippines. So this particular company happens to have American in their name. Wouldn't it be nice if companies with American in their name, like American Standard, American Telephone and Telegraph, wouldn't it be nice if those companies had Americans answering the phone?
Yeah. It would seem to me that they're going to be better received and better perceived in the marketplace if they were to do that. So that's an interesting angle that you have that a lot of other businesses don't have because – you know, what we're trying to do is, again, as I said before, we're trying to utilize Americans to service American companies, even though those Americans may not be on American soil. So that's kind of the gist of what you do. Now, what's the next step for someone who wants to know more about how you can help them?
Sure. Our website is www.grayshoring.com, and it's GrayShoring.com. And we have a contact sheet on there that you can go on and register as a potential worker looking for work or as a company. And our number's on there. That's 214-693-2234. That comes straight to my desk, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Steve, any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, I just go back to if you can cut your cost in half, upgrade the quality of the person that's doing the work and an employee in American, wouldn't you at least want to know what the details of doing that might be?
Absolutely. Do you want to explore it and check it out and give it a try? And that's the key. I think the fact that you can work with small companies and you can start small and kind of test the water really means that there's no real reason why someone couldn't give you a try, no matter what the size of the company is, because you're able to start small and then scale upward based on the needs of the company because of the way you're set up. You don't have that overhead that you have to reconcile every month. You have, in effect, what's that term? Lean manufacturing, just-in-time delivery? Well, in fact, you have just-in-time delivery of personnel.
Correct. At a deeply discounted rate. Think of it this way. If we had the 51st state, in that 51st state, the minimum wage was $5 an hour instead of $8 an hour. And you didn't have to worry about covering medical care costs because they weren't going to be employees, yet you were going to have all the benefits of your existing structure. Again, wouldn't you at least want to know what the details were?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I guess the question becomes like, if you think about the companies that have sent workers home, most of us will be familiar with, some of us won't. For example, American Airlines now has reservations agents working from home. Sears now has customer service reps working from home. I mean, those are some fairly household names.
Exactly. But those are Americans working at home, and therefore they're being paid domestic
American wages. Correct.
Yeah. And so what you could do is, in effect, the same thing for significantly less. And in fact, maybe the long-term results are going to be better because the people that you are working with in terms of the your contractors, they are very motivated to do a great job because it's a good deal for them as opposed to someone that it's just a rank and file minimum or just above minimum wage person. You know, they're looking for a better job every day. And you know, when they find one, they're out of there. Where your people are happy, delighted to work for you because it's a great deal for them and a great deal for you. Well, thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate your talking with me today and look forward to seeing how this all pans out for you.
Okay, great, Nick. Thanks a lot.